to have a man that has the same background and just fire for the Lord to hear the music played. Amen. Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time. Father, we thank you for this time. Father, we ask you just to bless our pastor as he's out, Father. Let him know everything's going fine here. Give him peace and all that, Lord. Let him be safe on his journey back tomorrow, Father. And Lord, we just bless these people here. Father, the congregation of Metro Church, Father, your children, we ask you to bless them and encourage them, Father, with the word that you've prepared for them. And Father, we just thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All the kids that would like to go to Children's Church, please go with Miss Sable. She'll be taking care of the kids today. If any of the kids would like to go, head out that way. She's over there going towards the corner. Thank you. Thank you. Today, when I was praying the last few days, one thing that kept hitting me in my spirit. Okay, Thursday night youth group service has been postponed. Just for this Thursday. That's one announcement that we forgot to throw in there. Okay, no problem. But in my spirit this last few days and everything, it's like when I pray and stuff, I usually, well, God's been doing some interesting things for me lately when I've been preparing stuff for these sermons and stuff for the relationship conferences. It's just like I would get up in the morning and I just start writing. God would just give me something to write. And but this week, it's like I got up in the morning and there was nothing there to write. But you know what? How do you know that sometimes God would touch you on what your own heart is going through? Amen. And one thing I think that all of us need to realize is that we're not counted out. Amen. That we have not, life has not passed us. I mean, we can look at life and we can see the great things that maybe we have friends and families or people that we know cordially that have done great things for God or that had great wealth and have closed billions of dollars of deals and drive beautiful cars and, you know, throughout their life, maybe even in high school, maybe all the way to grade school, but maybe even in college, those friends of yours probably were looked at and everybody looked at them and said, wow, this person's going to be great. They may have looked at them and said, wow, they're top of their class. They're in the best business school. They're going to be great. And not every one of us is going to be on paper, on education, on anything, the best of the class. Not every one of us. Amen. Not every one of us are going to be the top notch person. But I tell you what, God is fair. And he made something in you like he made something in me. And you look at all these people's lives and all the influences and everybody that spoke over them or that said some good things about them. And then you look at your life and you look at it and you see, you know, I've had some things good happen. You know, I've had some good things happen. But you never reach where they reach. And sometimes, have you ever felt that you were just a little far behind everyone else when it came to success? Have you ever felt that you never got your breakthrough? That you never got that? That you never seen good things happen for you? Now, I'll tell you what, if you stand for God, you remember, the things that you're going through, the fights that you're fighting, is not for your glory, it is for his glory. That when we go through what we gotta go through and we walk the walk, how many here have been disappointed just in life? In general, here and there. I mean, hey, I can tell you what, I'm a real estate agent, I'm gonna be honest with you. I've been re-looking at it and re-looking at it, and I have not even caught up to the production that I used to have 3-4 years ago. I haven't caught up to that production at all. I mean, those were great times. I sent a Twitter out on my Twitter, and I put, man, don't you remember when things used to close, when you had a signed contract and you had good credit, that it would just close? Nowadays, that ain't good enough. And, you know, I look at that, and you can look at things like that that can get you disappointed. But you know what I want to tell you this morning? And it's very, very simple. After you had your pity party, because we all have it, everybody calls it a mental breakdown. I don't call it a mental breakdown. It's just our pity party. Now, who in the Bible had the biggest pity party of them all? Job. And I think if you would turn with me to something in the Word of God here, to Job 12, we'll get to that eventually. Job 12, 1-5, we're going to read that. But you know what? I like to look at pity parties in a different way. And the way I look at pity parties is this. Is, yeah, we're mad because we're not getting what we need to get. And just like, you know, brother, you were on target with those songs and what you said, and saying, we're, you know, it doesn't matter. We're going to go forward. It doesn't matter. You know, things are going to look better. You know, that is so true. Because you know what? I think pity parties is mostly we're mad at ourselves. We can't get mad at God on things. Because a lot of times it's the hard decisions and things that we get ourselves in pity parties. But you know what? I like to look at pity parties as this. It's just a moment of honesty in your life that you need to see where you're at, to see where you could have been, but to see now it's time to get there. You understand what I'm saying? When you look at it, yeah, you may have messed up. And praise God, last week I covered in my sermon on Sunday night that God forgives a multiple offender. Amen? And I'll recover that just real briefly. Peter came to Jesus and said, should we forgive him 7 times? And then Jesus said sarcastically back, no, 70 times, 7 times. Why is that? Well, Peter represented man's view of forgiveness, man's view of how much he should let someone do something before he cuts him off. Jesus represented God's view of how much he loves us. And no matter what it is that we do, in the same offense, the same time that we're forgiven. That is awesome to know that we have a Father that looks at us and he forgives the multiple offender, because we cannot receive the peace and grace that we need if we can't walk boldly into the throne room of God. Amen. Well, when you look at life and you see all the things that passed you up and all the things that didn't happen, you know, use that for encouragement. Amen. Use that to say, you know what? I know I'm not the highest real estate agent. I know that I don't drive the beautifulest car, but that shouldn't keep you down. Why? Because you're going to meet the promise that God has put in you. Each one of us is given a vision, a scope of people that only we can reach. You hear me talk about it all the time. Each one of us can reach family members that I will never reach, but you will reach. Each one of us have children or have influence over children that are the next generation and the last generation for this great movement of God. I can't influence them all, but you can influence your realm. Now, as far as Job, I think that he represents what we all have gone through. And at times, how many people in your life you've thought you're doing good and you're pretty content where you're at and you're moving forward, but maybe an incident comes up in your family, your friends, your coworkers, or whatever, look at it and they judge you because of this one incident. And they ride you because of this one incident. Read Job real quick. And this is Job chapter 12, verse 1. And Job answered and said, no doubt, but ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. But I have understanding as well as you. I am not inferior to you. Yea, who knoweth not such things as these? And this is the verse I want you to look at. I am as one mocked of his neighbor, who calleth upon God, and he answereth him, and just upright man is laughed to scorn. Let's stop there. Job sarcastically in verse 4 looked at them, and I want you to grab this. He told them, I know I'm being laughed at. He said, I know all my friends and all my family are making fun of me. But one thing Job had that was so awesome, even though he went through his whole ordeal, we won't cover the whole ordeal that he went through, but one thing he knew and one thing he had was he knew his God. He knew his God. He knew who his God was. He knew that God was God and God was able to deliver, to provide. Amen? I want you to get this in your heart and get this in your spirit. Know in your most embarrassing or most critical times when people have judged you and people have looked at your life, know your God. Know that you're not your circumstance. You are not your situation. That is not you. Your pity party is not your final destination. That you have bigger and better things. Oh, I look at all the things that I've done in life, and some great and some not so great. Who cannot say that confession? Amen. Who cannot say that confession? And I look at where my spirit wants to be. I look at where I'm at. And I say, you know what? In God's time. In God's time. Because any man can go and build something, but if God is not in it, then it's just something built by man. But when God builds it, when God makes it happen, told you this last week, and week before probably, the radio station, this is our anniversary. This month is our anniversary for our online radio station. I look at that and I'm just amazed of all the people that we got from all over the place. All over the place. We have in about 7 different states, 3 different countries, just hosts that take over the signal or send in their MP3s and we play it for them and they have a time slot. And to some people, it's just simple and small. But to me, it's praise God, because God knows my bigger vision for this. And I can see a year that, you know, we're able to maintain the bills, maintain the hosting, and maintain everything else we're doing. And I'm saying, God, you know what's in my spirit, how much further I want to take this. But sometimes when you're doing the work of the Lord, you just go with what God gives you. You'll be faithful in the things He does for you. You'll be diligent. You know what? How can it grow to 100 hosts if I can't take care of the 15 or 16 that I have? You know, I had to learn how to take care of the young. And you know what? My son, David, right there. He is my co-engineer. At times I will call him on the phone and I'm like, David, turn off the signal. They're starting the show. I forgot. Turn off the signal. And, you know, we're getting coordinated that my children are learning how much a father can be proud of his son and his sons able to go on the computer. You know, these guys are smart. Kids are smart today. Praise God. I didn't see a computer until I was in after high school. Praise God. And we had some thing they used to call a computer, but it didn't last long. But that is an awesome thing. How many of us know that sometimes the promises are for our children? Amen. That you and what you've gone through in life is going to bless your kids. You know what? Besides an inheritance, besides anything that you can leave them, you give them God. You give them faith. You give them joy. You let them see when the enemies hit your home that you're still clapping, that you're still walking, that you can, you may, they may see you have your little pity party, but they see you come out of the room happy, excited for God. Let's go on. You know, I'm not going to tell you that you're not going to be down, because the only way the enemy can come at you is coming at your mind. We fight wickedness and darkness in strong places in our mind. We have to stop the enemy from coming in our house, from what we watch and how we talk and what we do. That is our responsibility. But the enemy will come in and attack you with your mind. What is having the goal of this world? What is having everything that you can give your kids, but you can't give them faith? I would give my children faith over anything. I would rather them see 20 years from now when they hit a wall, 20 years from now, that they can get up and shout to God and they can preach and they can pray. That's the things. If I give them that, I know I've equipped them. Now I'm going to leave them inheritance. I'm going to give them wealth, because I know God's got a blessing, just like Sister Sable was saying. Blessings are synonymous with God. They are synonymous with God. I want to tell you, in the NBA, I love sports, I know that already. In the NBA, they have these draft picks, they get them in. They used to bring them from high school, but they don't do that anymore. And these guys were like the stars of their teams. They would dominate their sport in the high school level or college level. They were the best. They'd bring them in. You know, high school, a college season is probably like 60 games, if that. 70 games, or yeah, about 60 games. Or 40, I think 40 games. Well, the pro level is double that. So they're not used to running a full season. So there's something that's called the rookie wall. And these kids will go out there and they'll be doing stats and production and everything so good for the first part of the season. But right after the All-Star break, almost 9 out of 10 of them would just come up duds every game. They couldn't get out there. Their legs were tired. They were off sync. They couldn't handle anything beyond their normal production level. And it was called their rookie wall. But coaches didn't worry. They knew this guy was going to be the all-star of the team. They knew they were going to carry it. But the coaches would always say this. They would always say, we just got to get them past the rookie wall. Once we get them past that rookie wall, they'll be fine. They'll gain the mental toughness that they need. They'll understand how they have to condition their body and take care of themselves even better than they ever done before. They'll understand the commitment that is needed to make it in this league and become the best of the best. Now, I want to tell you, a lot of us aren't rookies, amen? But we keep hitting that rookie wall sometimes. We keep hitting that wall where we get tired, that wall where it just gets frustrating, that wall where we just can't get up. Our legs are tired. Our spirit's tired. We can't do this anymore. But you know what? God is saying, get up. Get up. Condition yourself. Get up. Do it. Make it happen. Larry Bird, one of my favorite players, not when he was playing, but after he was playing. Larry Bird, one of my favorite players, and he said something that was so touching when I was in the 80s and I was listening to him, and it stuck with me even today. And he didn't say anything about the rookie wall, but he's talked about being a champion. He would go into the playoffs. He won three out of five NBA playoff games, NBA championship finals. And that's a good stat for any sport. And he was going from the locker room, and there was a final game seven to win in the 1983 finals. And he looked at the camera, and they go, well, Larry, what's going to go on? He just got the microphone from the lady. He said, it's time for men to become men and boys to be boys. If you're going to be a champion, you got to be a man, and you got to take it. And he just went out there. My friends, my church, it is time for us to be stronger. It's time for us to be spiritual men and spiritual women of God. You know, the pity parties, they last, what does the Bible say? But for a season on a lot of things. They just last. You know, a lot of times those pity parties come up, all they are just you being disappointed with how far you've gotten or letting yourself getting taken advantage. How many know family just going to call half the time, and half the time they call as they need something? Praise God. It works like that in my family. And I tell you, you got to be strong. Sometimes you got to say no. Because sometimes we say yes too many times to help, and we end up hurting ourselves. So sometimes the best thing to do is just be strong in your family. You need to be the strength. I'd rather be known as the strength of the family, and they come to me for spiritual things, than they always come to me because they need something. And I want them to know that God, I want to encourage people. I want them people to look at me. See, in September, about 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, this is before all the crisis was made public about the mortgage industry and about anything else that was really like we're in a recession or anything. God told me something, and I'm going to share it openly. He told me something privately, and I'm going to share it openly to you. He said the next 3.5 years is going to be hell for the United States. And I was this is when mortgages were closing like crazy. He said, son, he goes, you stay faithful, you stay strong, you focus on me, you take care of your kids. What you lose, I will multiply. What you lose, I will give back. At the end of 3.5 years, you will have more that your family, and he said family first, and your friends will see that you're blessed and that you know how to follow me. I speak that over you right now, that you are blessed. And that when you at the end of this recession and whatever we're going through, that God will show your family first and your friends. That is a blessed woman of God. That is a blessed man of God. I want to be known in anything. You can say, hey, I want to be known as a pastor. I want to be known as an author. I want to be known as a radio host. No, I want to be known as a man of God. You want to be known as a woman or man of God. There's no difference. No difference from today than tomorrow, because it's already happening in God's books. Amen. It's all the same day to him. It's already happened. The only difference is how you stand up and how you walk through it. Now I want to share with you a story in closing. It's a story that how we have to look at life. There's a man that had this beautiful horse. Awesome horse. All the farmers love this horse. He's had many offers and bids for this horse. Denied him. Said, no, this is my precious horse. I love this horse. One day, the fence broke and that horse got out. All the farmers in the neighborhood, all of them came by him and they were all just hugging him and saying, what, so we're sorry. What bad luck that was. What bad luck that was. And he would look at them and say, good luck, bad luck, who knows? And he would just put it off like that. Who knows? And he'd just go back in his house. Well, then about a week later, that horse came back with over a herd, about 100 wild Mustang horses. And he came running right into his fence that was being fixed. And he just fixed the fence and closed it. And his horses multiplied there. And then all the farmers were like, wow, you must be amazed. You know, before they were sad and now they're happy. That is amazing. He goes, now you're so wealthy with all these horses. God, that's great. And he told him the same thing he told him when the horse ran out. Good luck, bad luck, who knows? Well, one of his sons decided to get on the horse and tame it. And when he's trying to tame this horse, he fell off the horse and he broke his leg. And when he broke his leg, all the farmers came around and said, oh my goodness, that's horrible, horrible. Look, now they all had sons and stuff, and they go, you know, we can send our guys to come help you if we need to get some of those horses broken down and stuff. He goes, no, good luck, bad luck, who knows? And he just went with life, with what life would give him, and he wouldn't try to put a tag on it, of good luck or bad luck. He just stood firm. He knew God, wasn't an issue. He kept going. Well, a week after that, the army came to town, and there was a war going on. Took all the sons that were of healthy body. His son was told he didn't have to go because his leg was broke. Their sons went into war. Was that good luck, bad luck? Who knows? I tell you that for the very reason is this. Look at life in the eyes of Christ. Persevere. Get through it. Don't label it and don't get too long in your pity party. I'm not going to tell you not to get in one because you're going to get in one regardless. But you need to stand strong. I want to read two scriptures to you real quick. Two scriptures that I wrote down, and I really know that you'll be blessed with this. One scripture is in Joel 2:26. I'll just read it for you. And it says, "And ye shall be eat in plenty and shall be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt with you wondrously. And my people shall never be ashamed." And my people shall never be ashamed. I want you to say that with me. And my people shall never be ashamed. And the other one, which I want to leave with you, this is Psalms 34:10. The young lion do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. That includes your career. Many of people go into jobs that they don't like. They clock in because they have to clock in. Praise God that they provide for their family, because there's a lot of deadbeats out there that don't. And they go in, they turn on lights where they have to turn off lights because they have to work a job that they don't want to work. But praise God, that is not your end result. God has bigger plans. It's persevere. Look at it and get through it. Amen. Amen. If you all would please just stand up. Amen. We're going to open up the altar just for prayer. If anyone would like any prayer, we can pray with you to get past the rookie wall if we have to pray for that. But other than that, if you have any sickness or anything that you need prayer on, just come up front. Brother, if you play some music for us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. God, I want to go ahead and just pray, Father, our dismissal prayer for those that got to leave. We just thank you, God, that they were here and that they were blessed. And we thank God for the service, Father, that you have today. But Father, we also pray, Father, that you will bless them. Father, give them, Father. We impart a blessing on them, Father, of faith, Father, that they can get through, Father, anything that comes against them. That all the temporary setbacks will pass away, and they will get their victory that they've been crying for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You are dismissed. If you have any prayer, come up and we can pray for you.
Blessed Savior, I surrender. I surrender all. I surrender all. Now to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Oh, you, Jesus. Thank 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 you, Jesus. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Shouted while eternity rose.